going to start again now for the next, we're going to end at about 11:30. We're going to start this round now with questions from the audience. And the candidates have agreed that even though we're ending at 11:30 formally, you're free to stick around and they will stick around and answer some specific questions if you wish. So again, by Priscilla, and again, it's going to be 2 minutes for each answer.
What are your thoughts on the state's budget bills and their impact on Madison and Madison schools?
Okay.
Let me ask them. Well, there is no question that the budget ramifications will be loud and clear for the city council. And so we're facing, you know, the city is facing some extremely difficult times as far as making decisions and prioritizing the budget. And the way I look at it, budgets are always about priorities. So we are going to have to decide as a council and as a city in a collaborative way, in an open and inclusive process, what are we going to prioritize? What are we going to fund? What are we going to have to cut? We always talk about basic services, and I certainly agree that those services need to be maintained. Protective services, of course, police and fire, EMS, and that kind of thing. But what are other basic services? And that's the question that I'll be asking myself and others. I think that in District 20, especially over on this side of the Beltline, things like neighborhood centers and anything that has to do with youth are extremely important services, as are senior services. So again, we're going to have to really put our heads together, be creative in our budgeting, look at every line item, and find savings when we can. But keep in mind that we pay pretty decent taxes here, pretty high taxes, and we expect a high quality of life. And I, for one, am not going to allow the governor's budget to take that quality of life away from here in the city of Madison. And I will always be thinking, when I'm making decisions and talking to people on the council, how is this affecting the working and middle class of the city? Because that's the driving force behind our economy, and we need to make sure we're looking out in that regard. I think there's something about schools, but maybe I'll come back to that.
Would you like me to repeat the question?
Sure, that would be great.
What are your thoughts on the state's budget bills and their impact on Madison and Madison schools?
Well, I believe that we need to prioritize as well, but I think that I'm a strong advocate of what's called zero-based budgeting, where we take a look at all of the things that we've been funding in this city and look at those things critically and say, are they doing what they were intended to do? If they're not, then maybe we should discard those programs. We need to look for duplication. We need to look at the ways that we can economize and not destroy our basic services. Basic services are our key. And basic services go beyond fire, EMS, the like. We also have sanitation issues. We have quality of our water. We have things that we see every day when we are traveling to and from work. We need good roads. Those things need to be taken care of and addressed first and foremost. But we have a lot of other things that we pay for in this city that we can take a serious look at and see whether or not those things are something that we need today. A lot of times we take a look at the budget and say, well, we've funded this thing for 20 years, so we're just going to add a certain amount to the budget and fund it again with an increase. We can't do that anymore. That's something that is no longer allowed because of the constraints of the budget from the state level, the county level, and the city level. And we have to be good stewards of the taxpayers of this community. I have talked to numerous people who are senior citizens on fixed incomes. I've talked to people at doors who are unemployed, underemployed. Those people are afraid of losing their homes. The 5.1% increase in taxes this past year was not necessary in my view. I think we could have done without some of the things, and there was an effort made by four members of the city council to bring that down, and I think that we need to take a look at that.
depending on who, how, and what you figure, 50% to 58% of Madison is not on the property tax rolls. The city is spending upwards of $10 million to buy property along East Washington Avenue, including Union Corners, the Don Miller dealership acres, and the state-owned Boynton parking lot, one block off the square. In light of the new city zoning codes, what do you think of the city seeming to get into real estate development? Dave?
Yes, I am very concerned about Madison's purchasing commercial properties, all of those that you mentioned and possibly more, because as was stated, 58% of the properties in the city of Madison are not currently being taxed. There are some programs that provide income for police and fire services to some of those buildings, for instance, state buildings, county buildings, municipal buildings, but that is a small pittance compared to the total overall cost to the taxpayer. We need to make sure that every property in the city of Madison that's currently not on the tax rolls is examined to see whether or not they need to be back on the tax rolls. 42% of our taxpayers are paying for that 58% that are not on the tax rolls. That to me is unconscionable. That's over 50%. That's past the tipping point. We have to take a serious look at what is not being taxed, and we have to make sure that our taxpayers are protected, especially the most vulnerable, our senior citizens, those that are on fixed incomes. And I will work diligently to make sure that we do that. I don't want the city to be in the real estate business. There are many developers in this community that can do that job and do it well. So I would encourage all of you to contact the city and explain that you can't absorb any more taxes because of the 58% that are not paying taxes.
Matt, would you like me to repeat the question?
I think I'm okay. Thanks. It seems to me that the program that was mentioned, the point is to try to help the economy grow. And we have a situation where there have been sites that are not being redeveloped or developed, and the city's trying to give a little push, and I actually think that's a wise thing to do. It seems like, yes, the city will take on some costs initially, but the idea is to not own those properties forever. It's to, you know, get rid of them, to sell them, to attract people to buy them and develop them, and then the tax base will go up, and then we will have more than 42% paying. So I guess I disagree with Dave there. I think that's what the city should be doing. We should be much more proactive in our economic development. I think we've started to make some gains, but we've been slow in that for quite some time. With some of the changes in the planning or the economic development department, as well as community and planning and economic development department, whatever that was called, with leadership that is going to be more proactive. I mean, I think we need department, not only the heads, but people who work in those departments at the lower levels to be reaching out to businesses, to be more open to the idea of bringing businesses in, attracting them, keeping them, and then therefore growing the tax base. That brings our taxes down, and then we don't have that 58% or 42% anyway not paying, the 42% paying for 58. So I think the city that's what the city should be doing, quite frankly. Now we can't go overboard in that because we don't have oodles of money, obviously. But I think giving a nudge to the development of this city is a smart strategy, and I actually agree with it.
Next question. Given that the state transit budget will be cut, how important, in your opinion, is public transit to our community as a whole, and District 20 specifically? Any thoughts on how to offset the budget cuts? Matt?
Yep. Well, again, here, everything's being cut, and everything's gonna be cut. But there are some things that the city of Madison is just not gonna allow happen. We're not going to turn our head on public transportation or turn our back on public transportation. We will figure out how to make sure that our bus system is working, the way it should and expand it if we can. You know, if we want to go off of that, the recycling program, for instance, is going to be cut, apparently, according to Governor Walker's budget, although there are some couple Republican senators who have talked about maybe they don't agree with that, so maybe we can get one more and keep it. But we won't end recycling in Madison. That won't happen. We will figure out how to continue recycling because we have one of the best recycling programs in the country, one of the oldest, and we for the most part, as a community, agree with that program and think it's good. So we'll figure out how to pay for it. We will have to offset them, obviously, in some places. And we're going to just, it's going to be, like Dave and I both said, we're going to have to look at every line item in the budget and really make some tough choices. And that's where we'll need input from everybody. We might need some public hearings here in the district to help have you guys help us out on making some of those decisions, to be quite frank.
I believe I'll address my comments specifically to the question regarding transportation and public transportation in the city of Madison. First of all, I think public transportation is very important for many of the people who are less fortunate. I have to be, in the interest of full disclosure, telling you that one of the things that I'm doing now in a out-of-retirement job is I'm transporting people who are handicapped, specifically people in wheelchairs around the city to jobs, to work, to dialysis appointments, to physical therapy. So I see this every day, the needs of those with special needs having transportation. I support public transportation. I support buses rather than trains because buses, you can change the routes when needed, and that's something that I think, obviously, if you put down train track, you can't do. But I would like to see Madison Metro take a serious look at running the full-size buses in non-peak hours. If you go over on Schrader Road at 9:30 at night and see one of the big city buses going down the road with no passengers on board, that can't be cost-effective. Why aren't we running smaller vans during those hours of non-peak transit so that we can make some efficiencies? Even the hybrid buses, which get better gas mileage, cannot do the job that a smaller vehicle could do in terms of cost to the citizens and to the community. So I would like to see public transportation preserved. I would like to see it expanded if necessary in certain areas so that people can get to and from their jobs and have a quality of life that is necessary for all of us, and we can't forget those that are most vulnerable.
What committee and commission appointments will you request if elected, and why? Dave?
Well, if I'm elected, I would very much like to be on the Public Safety Committee because I think that that committee is something that I have a passion for, to make sure that we are safe in our community, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. And so that would be number one. Number two, if CBDG, I think that's the acronym, it's the Community Development Block Grant Program, continues, I would like to work on that committee because I would like to see some funds for things like the Neighborhood Watch, which I mentioned earlier. I think that those programs that they have funded through that program are good. But we have to, again, take a serious look at whether or not we can continue to fund everything that has been funded through CBDG and take a look at the things that really are necessary for districts like ours, District 20. We are not unique. There are neighborhoods throughout the city on the north side, the east side, the south side, that also need funding for programs that will help the neighborhoods and the community, and we have to listen to those communities. And that's one of the things I've said before that I will do. I will listen at the city council level and hear what people are saying. As I said, a good communicator is also a good listener, someone who then makes a decision based on the facts and the input from the community.
Well, I would like to stay on the Public Safety Review Committee. I'm already on that committee, and it's taught me a lot about, you know, police and fire services, and I think it's appropriate for the alder, whoever's the alder from this district, to be on that. So I'd like to stay on that. I'd also like to be on the Community Service Committee, that has to do with the community development block grants and all kinds of other issues that are relevant to things that we're trying to do here in this district. I would love to be on the Plan Commission or the UDC. Now I know that you don't just get on that your first time necessarily, but I think that some representation from out here, from an alder out in this area, would be a good thing on that committee, because maybe it would tilt the planning away from downtown and the bigger developments and maybe think about, well, how do we plan out of the neighborhoods? And then another one that I certainly would be interested in is the Education Liaison Committee. I talked about earlier how I'm very interested in creating a much stronger relationship with the school district. And so I know that committee meets, I've never really heard anything that it does, and so I think maybe that could be much stronger and more forceful. I'd like to just go back to a couple things that I missed, I know I have some time. Because I think the first question was about the budget bill, but also I'm assuming the budget repair bill was intended in that question. You know, obviously most of you know I'm a teacher, so I'm completely opposed to the bill, which is no shock. But I think just overall, it's not a good thing for the city of Madison. We have, you know, I don't know the exact number right offhand, but 10 to 15% of people work for, maybe more, are public employees. And what people don't maybe think about is that it's basically an anti-stimulus project. It is money taken out of people's pockets, and maybe we need, you know, I'm not saying that we should have given some money up, and we could get into that debate forever, but the reality is that there will be less money in people's pockets. And I know my wife and I will be taking a hit, and that's discretionary spending, and we didn't have much, let me tell you, that we won't be able to use on buying a water heater or going out to a movie. And that ripple effect will have a huge impact on this community. It might take time, but we'll see it.
What are your views on the Verona Road project as proposed by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation?
Well, I'll be real honest. Politicians don't do this. I guess I'm not a politician, but I don't know a ton about this project, and I know it's a huge and important project in our area, and it's something that you know, I need to get more involved in, start going to the meetings and learning a lot more about it, because I always have a role to play if I'm elected. I know Dave does know about it, so I hope he'll tell you about it a little bit more, but I'm not going to sit here and try to act like I do. I know that there's concerns on all sides, of course. It's a major project that's been going on in the works for a long time, and it will affect many of us. So I intend to learn a lot more about it as we go forward. There was one more thing. Just going back to a question since I have time. Dave talked about transportation and wanting to maybe expand busers and expand transportation. And he's talked about wanting to expand other things. But then he also talks about wanting to keep taxes or lower taxes. And I just don't see how you can have all these services and also expect to have lower taxes. I know we're going to have limits set on us to not be able to raise taxes as much, which is fine, but I'm not sure we're going to be able to lower them if we provide and expand basic services.
Well, I probably need to explain that when I say that we need expanded public transportation, and I know there's costs involved with that, if I say we need expanded police protection, we need funds for that. But for every time we want to expand the cost of government, we need to make cuts. So it's a balancing act. It's something that is very difficult. It's something that needs to be done, and the public needs to be a part of the equation. There are certain things that maybe we can do without that we have had for a number of years, and if those cuts are made, then we might be able to expand in areas where we haven't had the funds in the past. So it is a balancing act, and we have to cut and expand in balance with one another. Going to the question of the Verona Road Beltline, I have been sitting on a committee that the State Department of Transportation put together for a number of years, and the plan is to expand Verona Road to 8 lanes, 4 lanes in each direction, and increase the access routes to the Beltline. My personal feeling is that this is a band-aid on a hemorrhage. This is going to correct some of the problems, but not all of the problems, of truck traffic coming into our city. We are the only city in the entire state on the 151 corridor that currently does not have a bypass. If we don't look at a bypass, seriously look at a bypass, to get truck traffic off of Verona Road, off of the Beltline, for those trucks that don't really want to come into our city but are just passing through, we are going to have some serious problems in the future in terms of transportation. I can't emphasize enough that if we don't move forward in purchasing land to do a bypass, the opportunity is going to pass us by.
Dave, what is your opinion of the proposed voter ID registration bill?
Well, I'm not convinced at this time that we need to address voter identification to the degree that it's been suggested in the state legislature. I don't think the abuses in the city of Madison in terms of voting have been significant enough necessarily to create a whole new program of voter identification. Although I do want to make sure that our voters, those who are voting, are eligible to vote. And I think that it's important for us to be able to do that. I don't want to have the people who are not able to get out and get their photographs taken not be able to vote. I don't want to disenfranchise anyone. I think that it's very important that everybody who is eligible to vote gets out and vote. One of the concerns that I have in this election, quite honestly, is the low voter turnout on April 5th. I think we may have a few things that will increase that with the mayoral race and with a county executive race and a Supreme Court race, but really, we need to make sure that everybody who is eligible to vote can vote. And like I said, I'm not yet convinced that we need an overhaul of the voter identification measure that's been proposed by the state. As a city council person, I have no jurisdiction over that whatever, if I were to be elected. And so I guess I just feel that there needs to be more study to make sure that we're not going to disenfranchise any voters.
I completely agree with that. Quite frankly, I think it's a completely political issue. I guess, I don't know if we need to get into it, but I mean, I think it's a power play by the Republicans to try to disenfranchise voters. I don't think there's any question about it, actually, so I don't agree with it. But I just want to go back to the transportation thing and the Verona Road question. It seems to me if we're worried about more traffic on the Beltline, you know, we need to do things, and our hands are tied right now, but we need to keep working on public transportation. Commuter rails, I'm all for it. The idea is to look forward into the future, not just the next few years down the road, but 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And are we going to be competing? This sounds far-fetched, but are we going to compete with India and China and those places? And one of them is transportation. So we want to take cars off the road, and I don't think we want to necessarily, and I'm not opposed to the Verona Road project, and I need to learn more about it, but I don't think we should just be thinking build roads first, make sure trucks can get in and out. I mean, that might be something we need to do too, but we also need to be looking at a regional transportation plan.
Do you support the installation of public sidewalks in District 20 on residential streets without the support of the residents who will be specially assessed for the work?
Matt? Yep, and both Dave and I already answered this question, actually, in full disclosure. No, the short answer is no, I don't support them without the neighbors. Okay, I mean, I grew up on a street, actually, and I don't think my dad's here yet, but who he complained forever that when this was developed, it should have had sidewalks. Why weren't there sidewalks here? Why weren't the developers forced to make sidewalks? But at the same time, it was a quiet street, and we were fine, and we rode up our bikes on the streets, we walked on the streets. So my short answer is no, and I know that a lot of the streets around here don't have sidewalks, and people have learned to live with them and are comfortable with them. And so at this point, to put sidewalks in and then have to take on that cost maybe isn't a fair thing to do. However, in the future, we need developers, should be putting sidewalks in, and the city should be urging that, just because it's makes for safer streets, and curb and gutter and all that kind of thing is just necessary and seems common sense to me.
Well, Matt and I agree on this. I do not believe that there needs to be sidewalks installed, especially with the special assessment that will be added to the tax bills of people who are currently having problems with paying those taxes. A few years ago, they had replaced sidewalks in the area in which I live, and they had marked off like four of the blocks in front of my house, segments of the sidewalk that needed to be replaced. And much to my chagrin, I came home one day and all 12 were missing. So they replaced 12 in front of my house, and I was specially assessed over a period of 4 years to pay for the replacement of those sidewalk squares. So I know the cost and the impact that it has on one's budget. I don't think that we need to ask people to put in sidewalks if there isn't a clear and demonstrated need. Much of the areas that don't have sidewalks are not quite as densely populated as areas in, say, the central city where sidewalks are necessary for safety. I'm not saying that there aren't some areas that we have our children walking in the streets that they shouldn't, and I know from doing doors in many of the areas where there are not sidewalks that we've had to walk long distances to get to and from those front doors because there were no sidewalks and we had to go down to the street to get through all the snow. So to make a long story short, again, I think this is one that both Matt and I agree on, that unless there's a demonstrated need, we don't need sidewalks, and we don't need another assessment added to the tax bill of those people who would be asked to pony up for having sidewalks installed at this time. I think it's something we should look at in the future and make sure that new developments have sidewalks.
Governor Walker has referred to public employees as the haves, the private sector employees as the have-nots. Many of Madison's citizens are public employees and taxpayers. Do you agree with Governor Walker's statement? Dave?
Well, I don't like to put anything in the category of haves and have-nots. I think that the controversy over public employees has been somewhat overblown in that the benefits that the public employees have had over the years have exceeded those in the private sector. But having said that, I think that we need to be sensitive to the fact that if these benefits were negotiated, that they should be addressed as they are currently. In other words, I don't think we should roll back things that have been negotiated, but I do believe that we need to take a look at in the future that the benefits that are provided to employees that work for the community, work for the state, work for school districts, are similar to those that people in the private sector have. Quite honestly, taxpayers pay for those benefits for those people. And we cannot simply continue to load one side of the equation with more benefits, and whether it be healthcare or whether it be pension programs that are greater than those of us in the general public who are not city employees, not state employees, not school district employees, we have to pay the freight, and it's a balance. And I don't begrudge the positions that many of the public employees have taken. I respect them. And I want the best for all of the citizens of District 20 and for the city of Madison, our county, and our state.
Well, I mean, this of all the things that have happened in the last month, I think the thing that's most frustrating to me, and I think a lot of people, is this I guess the question, the divide, you know, the public versus private. I mean, we're all haves, and we're all have-nots, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, this idea that because there's an economic downturn and because there's, I mean, in a real budget crunch, I understand that, that we have to sort of, I don't want to use the word demonized, but in some ways I think public employees have been demonized or looked, you know. So this issue has been very obviously close to me because I'm a public school teacher and it affects me. And like we've said all along, I don't think the money was the issue. It was taking away the rights that public employees and other employees who are private employees who have unions think they should have to collectively bargain, which just means sitting down as a group with the employer and talking about how to work out working conditions. And what we've noticed out in where I teach out in Mount Horeb is the money issue is the thing that everyone that's in the news and everyone talks about and gets people's emotions, but the things that affect us just as much are the conditions. They're the class size numbers, they're the prep times, which we're losing on Mount Horeb. They're the sick days, they're on and on. There's all kinds of language. And the idea that that's all gonna be taken away and given to us just from the board or that possibility is, I think, why there was the outcry and the passion to turn that bill around. And again, I mean, I guess I have nothing more to say on that one. I can talk to you guys later if you wanna talk about it.
End of the questions, that's the end of the written questions. Each candidate will be asked to make a closing statement of three minutes. Matt first, because you were last to open.
Well, again, thanks to everyone for coming. We have, 10 or 15 more minutes. We can go outside and enjoy this wonderful weather that we're having today. I don't have anything prepared for this. I'm just going to go off the cuff here. But I, in the last 2 months, 3 months, have just had a wonderful experience of learning more about the district, learning more about all of you. Like I said, I've knocked on a lot of doors, and I've had a lot of good conversations and learned a lot, and it's been gratifying already. And if elected, I look forward to representing all of you. And like I said earlier, whether we agree or not, I look forward to bringing a voice back to the district that I think is needed, a collaborative voice that will bring people together and work for our community and get things done. There's all kinds of issues that we're gonna work on, and we talked about them today. And of course, we talked about safety and economic development. I'm gonna really work on working with our school district. We live in a city that now has around 50% of our students who have free and reduced lunch. And that's a major concern for me and for everybody. It should be for everybody. I do think the city has a role to play. And so that's gonna be something. If you're interested in that, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, because I certainly don't have all the answers, but I'm gonna have a lot of questions about it. Anyway, I'm gonna just wrap it up. I really appreciate you coming. It's been a great experience, and I'd love to have your support. And again, thank you to the Neighborhood Association, the moderator. Done a great job. Appreciate it.
Well, before I forget, I want to thank Matt for being here today. And we have both experienced a great deal of input from the people in the community who we've seen at doors. And it has been a real learning experience for me personally. There are things that need to be addressed to make our neighborhood safer and return us to a quality of life that we all desire for ourselves and our families. I assure you that that's where my commitment lies in running for this office. I want to protect those people who are most vulnerable, those people who are on fixed incomes, those people who are underemployed, unemployed, and I want to make sure that those people can stay in their homes, enjoy the quality of life that we've had in District 20 for many years. I'll fight for the fact that the city must live within its means, like each and every one of us in this room have to do. I can assure you that I will protect your property and your property values. I will protect the most basic of services that we've all come to know and enjoy and expect from our city. I will fight for greater business development to help offset the taxes that we are all paying, that we all, I think, can agree are maybe too high, and need to be taken seriously in terms of our budgeting. I will push for the creation of good jobs and business development. Business development leads to jobs, and every resident who wants to work should be able to have that opportunity. I believe in you, I believe in District 20, and if elected, I am committing myself to you and only you, and will be your representative no matter what else. You are the people that I represent if elected in this area. Your faith and trust will not be violated. I will not always have the answers when you contact me, but I can assure you that I will get those answers, and I look forward to the input and guidance from each and every one of you as we move forward. I respectfully ask for your vote on April the 5th so that we may work together to grow and to improve District 20 and become the envy of the rest of the city of Madison. Together we can commit to making this happen. I want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank the three neighborhood associations. I want to thank our moderator, Priscilla. And I want to, most of all, again, thank you for your commitment to making District 20 the best place in the city of Madison to live. Thank you.
Thank you to the candidates, Dave Flump and Matt Fair, for taking the time and energy to run for this important position. And thank you to Denise Lane and the sponsoring organization. The League of Women Voters publication, The Candidates' Answers, will be an insert in Isthmus on the Thursday before the April 5th election. A sample ballot and brochures are available on the registration desk.
Can we have a do-over?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This concludes WIDE coverage of the District 20 Candidate Forum held at March 19th at the Orchard Ridge United Church of Christ, Orchard Ridge.